Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Queens. Welcome to Your Destiny, Your Best Show. Host, Arnisa Thomas of Neat Books for You. As always, our purpose is to maximize your potential and ability to achieve your destiny, your best, through Jesus Christ. In sharing the word, we also use current life events and experiences. Last week, we talked about gird your waist with truth. The belt is the first weapon of warfare that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6, chapter 14th verse, and we continue in that same verse for a topic. However, our subtopic of gird your waist with truth was tightening loose obstacles. Again, that was tightening loose obstacles. We learned how tightening loose obstacles of life situations relate to gird your waist with truth. Please listen to episode 3 if you want to learn more about what we talked about. You can always send me an email at Arnisa, ArnethaOoks, the letter U.com. Again, today we will focus on episode 4, the second weapon of warfare, which is the breastplate of righteousness. Our subtopic is the heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come on the air and to share your word as we talk about the breastplate of righteousness. Subtopic, the heart. Oh my God, we know the value and the importance of our heart. So be with every listener, oh God. We thank you for the word being clear and we get good understanding. It not only helps women, but it also helps me. And we thank you, we praise you, we honor you in Jesus' name. Today, we will describe the breastplate that was the physical weapon of warfare during the biblical days. And we're going to share how it relates to the heart in spiritual warfare. Again, this lesson comes from Ephesians 6, chapter 14th verse. The breastplate. So we're going to describe the breastplate in wartime, physical wartime during the Roman days. The breastplate during that time, it was, according to the era, it took upon different kinds of shapes. But it was made of hard leather or metal. It was, the hard pieces was like animal horns, pieces of the hoof, and the attire was sleeveless. The high-ranking soldiers or the wealthy soldiers during that time, their breastplate was made out of bronze, molded bronze. The breastplate protected the body, which includes the throat and the heart and other vital organs. The breastplate covered, during the Roman times, it covered the front and the back of the body. It protected the soldiers from the sword, spears, and javelins. Therefore, we can see how important the breastplate was in physical battle during that time, an essential weapon to defeat the enemy. as we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, one thing we can say in the writings of Paul, he uses metaphors to help us better understand what we're talking about, to better understand the word. He used metaphors. And the metaphor here is soldiers' attire. Now we're going to talk about how that breastplate of righteousness impacts spiritual warfare. The organ of the body that we're going to focus on is the heart. And the heart represents, when we talk about righteousness, is our lifestyle of holiness and righteousness. It's very important that we understand what does that mean. How does this metaphor of breastplate in a physical battle, how does that relate to spiritual warfare? Again, in our previous episodes, we talked about our spiritual battle is not flesh and blood, but we're warring against the enemy, which is Satan. And Satan is prevalent as he works through other people and situations. Therefore, when we talk about the breastplate of righteousness, righteousness and holiness is a characteristic. These are characteristics of God himself, because God is sinless, and we know he is the holy of holies. We, in order to stand, why? The Christian's chief protection is against Satan and his schemes is that it's the word of God that protects us. The thing, in order to have the breastplate of righteousness, we have to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have to be confessed believers in Christ for this to work. Therefore, as believers, we are to live faithfully in obedience to the word of God and have a relationship with Jesus. Right. So if we're obedient to the word of God, when we talk about obedience, it says love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's the word. It says, be slow to anger. That's the word. So some of the word is more than that, but just to give us an idea of what we're talking about. Therefore, if we are obedient to the word and we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship with Jesus Christ grows through prayer. It grows through hearing the word. So if we're listening to the word on Facebook, YouTube, for those who are not able to get back into their churches or those that are in your churches, okay, it's hearing the word also. And it's not only just hearing the word. We need to read the word for ourselves as well. And we need to meditate on the word. So this is how we grow in our relationship with Christ. Therefore, as we grow in Christ, Christ's spirit lives in us. And the more we grow in Christ, then we have the breastplate. We're talking about our heart now. Our breastplate, which is our heart, is in righteousness. This is where our power, this is where our authority, this is where our wisdom comes from to defeat and overcome life adversities that causes us despair, hardship, isolation, anger. This is how we defeat Satan in overcoming our obstacles through righteous, holy lifestyle. That's important to know. Our breastplate of righteousness, it gets thicker and thicker because we practice our lifestyle. We practice being obedient to the word, and our relationship with Christ continues to grow. Very, very, very important as we wear our breastplate of righteousness, a weapon, our weapon, one of our weapons in spiritual warfare. Therefore, we're going to introduce some scripture, and then we're going to talk about it so we can understand the importance. It's very important that our heart is filled with righteousness. And I'm reading from the book, and we'll talk about it a little bit. This is chapter 3, The Breastplate of Righteousness, subtopic, the heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." I'm going to read it again. Proverbs 4:23. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." It was previously said that our heart should represent the divine nature of God, of Christ. And we must be mindful of what fills our heart if we want a heart of righteousness. Scripture also indicates that we must be consistent and display honest character. We talked about that a little bit last week. Sound what comes out of our mouth. And when we talk about obedience, we want to be steadfast. We want to be consistent in our Christian walk. Now, it's understood, so a man thinks, so is he. However, the real person's thoughts and ways are eternalized in their heart. Therefore, if we're talking about, it says, again, the scripture says, keep your heart with all diligence. Be mindful of the things that we do, the things that we, because out of it springs the issues of life. Out of it, according to our heart, the things we do, the things we say, adds to the flame of issues. It adds to disagreements, broken relationships. It adds to our behavior on the job and how we get along with others. Therefore, for example, when we talk about, so a man think through it, that if we're constantly thinking on something and thinking on something, we begin to believe it, then we internalize it in our heart. And once we internalize it in our hearts, chances are we're acting it out before then. But for sure, if it's in our heart, then it will be seen in our character. For example, let's say that it's hard to move, if the inability to love. So let's say we have the inability to love and move forward in a relationship because of a broken heart. One has become overwhelmed with disappointment, anger, and unforgiveness. And if this persists, if we continue to be overwhelmed with disappointment, anger, and unforgiveness, then it's in our mind, it's the way we think, and eventually it becomes part of our actions. It's in our heart. In our hearts, then, manifests isolation. We separate ourselves. We may present selfish behavior, and we're bitter. So this is what the scripture is telling us. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That's why it's important that we operate in righteousness, in holiness. Well, how do we do that when someone has hurt us? Chances are it happened more than one time, two times, maybe even more than three times. Then we get to the point and we say, well, enough is enough. One of the things about being obedient is that, and when we read and when we pray, we learn how not to allow the hurt and pain to internalize in our hearts and where it continues to escalate. Therefore, we're then able to pray a little bit more, get some direction and wisdom on from the word through prayer, from reading the scripture, on how to settle the matter. If we see it's escalating, then there's someone, hopefully in the church or close family member or friend, that has the mind of Christ that can operate as that mediator to help de-escalate the situation before it escalates out of hand. Those are some examples of what we can do. So this is why it's important to be diligent. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. The other thing that we're dealing with today is what we see that's happening in our country. Every time we watch the news, there's something else that we learn about that is hard to imagine. Is that really what someone would really do that, would actually lie and scheme to that end? Again, it's the word of God. We can seek scriptures on how to cope with current events that we have very little control over because we're not in those positions. We can pray, though. We can pray. We can speak what God's word says about the situation. The other thing is, once we watch the news. We don't have to sit there and watch it all day. Because we're feeding our hearts with the negativity, and we can only take so much of that at a time. We can also, to help to diligently protect our heart, we can also read positive books. We can do fun things with the family. We can do those things that we have control over. So we need to be mindful of our hearts and what we take in. That's one scripture. Another scripture of importance for the heart is, and sometimes, God wants a heart that is real. He wants a heart that is real. And one example of that is, this is Matthew 16th chapter, 7th verse, says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. In other words, because that person has so much money. Because that person has such a nice job. Or things seems to be going so right because we're looking on the outside. Oh, I wish I had a car like that, a house like that. And we're looking on the outside, right? And this is what the prophet was doing. The prophet was looking at Saul and saw how handsome he was and how tall he was. And the prophet told him, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For God does not see as man sees. For the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So now everybody who drives a nice car, everybody who lives in a nice house, that does not mean that they are doing something wrong. It doesn't mean that their behavior, their actions are not pleasing to God. But let's say for the one that is, and God knows. So that means that we have to be content with what we have and strive to be the best that we could be. We have to be happy with where we're at right now. Maybe I don't drive a Mercedes, but I drive a car of lesser stature. It takes me where I want to go. It doesn't cost much for me to fix when it's broken. So these are the things we have to look at. We have to be content and happy where we are, and God knows our heart and he sees us. Therefore, God knows our true character. He knows our thoughts. He knows our ways. He knows our intentions of our heart. Sometimes we pretend. If we're pretending because we are ashamed, then you need to know, we need to know that God loves us. He loves us, and he is a help in times of trouble. He is a present help in times of trouble. Now we're talking about a steadfast heart. David said, my heart is steadfast, O Lord. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise unto you. Again, when we talk about a righteous heart, the Lord wants our heart to be
focus on him. He wants us to sing and give praises to him regardless of what we're going through, because we're talking about a heart of righteousness. We're talking about building a heart that is strong to withstand the schemes and the tricks of the enemy, being able to cope healthy with life current events. We sing praises unto God. He gives us joy. He renews our strength. He gives us a different way, a healthy way, a godly way of looking at life situations. So we're talking about our breastplate is our heart of righteousness. And the heart is very, very important. Proverbs 16:21 says, the wise in heart will be called prudent. The wise in heart will be called prudent. A wise heart represents the wisdom of God. The wise heart of God is careful, cautious, and sensible in our way. Cautious, we think things through. We don't jump at any opportunity just because somebody present it to us and thinking this is what we should do. We have to be cautious. We're filled with wisdom. We're careful and we are sensible. And this is really important in this day and time because there are so many schemes out there of getting loads of money, and all you do is send me a fee. We know times are hard, and we know a lot of folks have lost their jobs or working part-time, not making as much as they were. The rent has not gone down. The cost of food has gone up, but we have to have wisdom. We have to have wisdom. We have to be cautious. We cannot fall for every seemingly quick scheme of getting money. It's fake. We need to be careful. So we have to guard our heart. Very, very important. We're talking about the heart of righteousness. Now, here's another one that I love. It says, this is in Ezekiel, a heart of love. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them and take away the stony heart out of their flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgment to do them. So, you know, he's talking about the Israelites here. But it's our inheritance today as believers in Christ Jesus. That's our inheritance today. And we have a better inheritance today because of the shed blood of Jesus on the cross. He died for us. He died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead, and he returned to our Father in heaven. So we have a better promise today. He said, I will put into you my heart a new spirit, which is the spirit of Christ. So that helps us as we talk about a breastplate of righteousness. Increase of Christ's spirit in us, that's power. That's authority.
We are created in the image and likeness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So can you imagine that kind of power that's living in us? And this is the kind of power that we need to overcome life situations, life disappointments, life hurts and pains. When we lose a loved one, yes, we will mourn. And we will feel like, oh my God, I can't believe it. All that is part of the stages of grief. And what I would like to say, to just let us know, if you're going through bereavement right now, then I'm looking here at my grieving handbook now. And so we all would know is this: grieving and sadness are normal, healthy emotions to loss. Everyone may experience the stages of grief when suffering a loss. These stages are denial, where individuals, you and I, cling to a false reality. That's one of the stages. Anger, where we question, why me? Then we want to bargain, hoping that the cause of grief can be avoided. There's depression, where a feeling of helplessness sets in. So these are part of the normal grieving process to be aware, right? And the final stage of the process is where we come to an acceptance, where we are able to embrace of a loved one, where we're able to talk about it, where we can laugh about it, and we can still cry, but the loss does not hinder us from our daily routine, those things that we normally do or need to do to care for ourselves. Also, so we can be aware of this, is because we have tragedies. We have the drive-by shootings. We have the injustice, the hate. A lot of things are going on. Therefore, the death of family members and friends is one of the most difficult experiences a person faces. The loss could have been from a sudden or unexpected death, sufferings from sickness and disease. It could have been a tragedy such as a drive-by and or mass shooting, gang and or domestic violence and human trafficking. Victims and survivors of a traumatic event, series of events and or set of circumstances, are so overwhelmed, it happens, and one's ability to cope in healthy ways many times diminishes. The person don't know how to function. You may know someone who is sick. The loss results in lingering periods of grief or sadness. Then others may cope differently and for shorter periods of time. It depends upon the individual and the traumatic situation. So we're still talking about the heart. The heart. The heart, the breastplate of righteousness, building up our heart through the obedience in Christ, crying out to him in times of trouble, in times of grief, in times of despair.
and reading His Word and surrounding ourselves with positive people. So we're talking about still the heart, the breastplate of righteousness. I want to give one more here, maybe two at the most. God looks for us to have a pure heart. So we're building a heart of righteousness. Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now, this is of all believers whose hearts are clean. We all sin, but we ask for forgiveness, right? And we work toward, through the power of Christ that lives in us, again, we get that through hearing of the word. We get that through reading of the word. I'm not saying you got to sit there and read the Bible all day long. No, no, no. Just one or two scriptures work. It works, but it needs to be in a habit. Now, we need to pray, a habit of prayer. We're not saying the long, drawn-out prayers, but we have to talk to God. That's how we build our relationship. We build our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but we have to talk to Him. We got to talk to them. And if we do these things, we'll find that we won't keep making the same mistakes over and over again. So we're talking about a pure heart. Okay? That's taking on the lifestyle of Christ. And we can, you know, many of us are doing it in baby steps, okay, as long as we're working toward it. But there comes a point in our life, and it depends upon our need. We intensify in building our relationship with Christ. If you have a family, if you have children, you got to move past the baby steps because our kids need us. And as they continue to grow, they become more of their own and think their way is the right way. Therefore, we need to know how to deal with that. Very important. A peaceful heart. Now, this is important because everything that's going on around us, the word says we can still have peace. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ." Read it again. "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and my heart, your mind and my mind through Christ Jesus." The peace of God protects the heart and mind from those external corrupting influences. External, those things that's happening around us. It's not an internal thing that we cause, but it's influenced by external factors like crime, drive-by shooting, like looting. External, gang activity, groups that have set themselves to make Black Lives Matter demonstrations look bad, want to take away from its purpose, an opportunity for Satan to work through others in doing. In the midst of that, in the midst of life's despair, Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding," it surpasses all my understanding, it surpasses all your understanding. understanding. Will God, your heart, your mind, my mind, through Christ Jesus. That's something else. I'm going to read just a little bit more about that. It says, Parker, in some ways, the peace of God is similar to the eye of a hurricane. This is coming out of the book, Get Through Going Through Life book. It says, in some ways, the peace of God is similar to the eye of a hurricane. During this time, no howling winds. It's like a peace. The storm is peaceful. However, the weatherman says, do not go outside. Yet people choose to go outside. It says they must quickly return from, they must quickly return because before the wind restarts, they must quickly go back inside before the wind restarts for protection. Now, unlike the peace of God in our hearts, during the eye of our hurricane situation, we can still go outside because he got us. We can continue our daily routine, those you know that had not been stagnated because of other things. But it's just letting us know when the winds mount up with trouble, God's peace protects our hearts. Who would not want to serve a God like this? He has our back. He knows. He created us in his image and in his likeness. God has given us the breastplate of righteousness. It stressed to us the importance of guarding our heart. Be mindful, be diligent in protecting our heart. The peace that God give us, all we need to do is to accept what he has to offer us, confess believers in Christ Jesus, then we have the protection. And the protection grows according to building our relationship with Jesus Christ and being obedient to the word. We thank you for listening today. We're hoping something was said that can help us, that can help you. Of course, it helps me as I study and review this book, Get Through Going Through Life. God has me also looking at it in a different way. Therefore, our growth in Christ is not limited. Our growth in Christ, it grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. And I said this last week, my Aunt Bessie was 80-something years old. And she said, oh, baby, I want to live for Christ. I want to live for Christ. I want to do all I can do for him before I get old. Already 80-some years old. So a wonderful example, a wonderful role model. We thank you again for listening today. Next week, we'll be back on, and we believe in we'll be back on. Next week will be chapter 4, Shod Your Feet. The other piece of that, Shod Your Feet with the Gospel of Peace. Again, we're going to talk about, Paul is going to introduce to us the metaphor of shodding the feet in a physical battle, and how that relates to a spiritual battle. Disclaimer, as a clinician, as a therapist, as a nonviolent trainer, does not exempt you if you're having some life issues, if you feel depressed, if you're feeling overwhelmed. Please contact your doctor, your nearest medical health, mental health, your nearest mental health facility. If you're in Miami-Dade County, you can always call, I think it's 211 or 311. And I know the number. You can go up on MiamiDadeCounty.gov. It's also there. But it's 311, I believe. It's 311. Might be 211, y'all. But anyway, you know what I mean. If you stuck, can't figure it out, send me an email. Arnitha4U.com. Let's close out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity of the word that has gone forth this morning, oh God, and we are praying it was done in excellence, oh God, in clarity and understanding, oh Father. We just praise you and we thank you, God, for sound doctrine. No errors, oh Father God. We thank you, oh Lord. Continue to be with us, continue to love us and direct our pathway. And Father, we thank you for accepting you as our Lord and Savior. Therefore, we thank you, oh God, that we are wearing the breastplate of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, ladies, queens, see you next week, same time, same station. God bless. Bye-bye.